broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hi, Ben. We're going to be talking about that new course. Is it Chains and a Bucket? Yeah, we'll be talking about that coming up with Steve Pike. But we're going to talk, first of all, about Maui. We're going to talk about Maui at the beginning of the show. We're going to talk about Maui at the end of the show. You know, in 2022, the Century Tournament of Champions helped support more than a dozen Maui nonprofit organizations. The charitable impact is a proud tradition of the Century Tournament of Champions. As they say, we look forward to continuing our title sponsorship through 2035. Now, this is what I've learned about Century. When they commit, they go all the way. That's just the way they are. They make you part of their family. That's how they feel about Maui. It's part of their extended family. They may be in Wisconsin, but their hearts are on Maui. And after the fires last week consumed Lahaina, killing 114 that we know of at this point, destroying 2,200, that's 2,200 homes, damaging another 500, disconnecting West Maui from the world by wiping out any form of communication. Here we are. And there are times when I am so consumed, in a way, by the video, the pictures, the images that we're seeing from Maui, seeing Lahaina, the way it looks now. It kind of destroys your sense of stability. So if you're feeling just a little bit off kilter, imagine how the people on Maui are feeling. And that's just something that we need to understand. Give yourself a little bit of grace. You know, today we're seeing connections being rebuilt, communications connections. And we're seeing the people without homes finding a place to stay in comfort in the Maui hotels, because all of the visitors, they've gone back home. They're no longer on Maui. And there are so many different organizations that have opened up the Maui Strong Fund, created by the Hawaii Community Foundation, to support relief and recovery efforts for the communities affected by the wildfires. Money's given online to reputable organizations. For instance, $100 million was donated by the creator of Amazon. You know, but for people, like I said last week, that have, they need everything from diapers to underwear to toiletries. It's a long, long, long list of needs. And that's why whatever you can give to the Maui Strong Fund or to your charity that you trust, Red Cross or the Bankers Association, they have a fund that they're starting. All of these things, we can do something. We can help, even if it's just a little bit. You know, you don't have to feel like, oh, I've only got, well, that's okay. Whatever you've got, it doesn't matter. Whatever you can afford. You know, not have a cup of coffee and a donut one morning and make that your donation. So we're going to talk first off this morning with Max Novina. He's the tournament director, PGA Tour, of Century Tournament of Champions on Maui. And welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. Aloha. Good to be with you. Good to be with your listeners.
Awesome. And Max, you know, the Century Tournament of Champions always happens in January. It's the first, you know, it's the first event of the new year. It's celebrated all the champions of the PGA Tour. They come together. They come to Maui. They bring their families. It's a celebration of the new year and celebrating the guys who won the last year. And it's all about raising money for the charities on Maui. So, it wasn't the first thing I thought of, but it was like, wow, that's right. Am I going to go to Maui? That's only 5 months from now. it's right around the corner. And I'm sure you're probably or would be, I don't know, in the midst of all kinds of getting ready for the Century Tournament of Champions. Can you give us an idea of what the plan is and how Century is behind Maui?
Yeah. I think first and foremost, Danielle, as you know, I live here on the west side. The videos, the images that that we've all seen, just, you know, so tragic, so devastating. I think you alluded to this in your opening remarks. We are all just so uplifted. This is a community that is absolutely galvanized and come together. Everybody is supporting each other. There's a lot of love and aloha. You know, people are taking their displaced neighbors into their homes. They're helping them, you know, find temporary schooling. They're certainly providing comforts like food, water, and clothes. And so, you know, I think much of the national reporting is in.
We spoke a little bit about the communication difficulties that, you know, we're all experiencing. And some folks had to go all the way up to Kapalua Airport, for instance, you know, to get a good connection. And we've just, I believe Max is, I think we're going to get him back, but we're just having a little bit of difficulty right now with our communications. The Public Utilities Commission is going to be investigating the Maui fire. And, you know, all of the talk about what started it, who's to blame. Bottom line is we've just got to pick up the pieces and move on. And I think he's calling back in now. So we're just going to give it a shot. Is that him calling back in? Or we're going to call him? Okay, we're going to give him a call. Why don't we take a break? Because it will be so much easier to take care of the people who make this show possible right from the gate. Let's do that right now. Thank you so much, Nani.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back into the clubhouse. Max Novena, Tournament Director, PGA Tour, Century Tournament of Champions Tournament Director. He's with us in the clubhouse again. And we may lose him, and then we'll just kind of do the best we can to move through community. This must be so frustrating for so many people trying to reach out to talk to people on Maui or for folks on Maui to call whomever they need to call to say, you know, I'm okay. We're getting some help. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the thoughts, your energy. It's welcome. Hey, Max, welcome back.
Hi, Danielle. Apologies. You know, I think you were just sharing with the listeners. One of the biggest challenges on the west side right now is stable communications. And obviously, crews have been working around the clock to reestablish electricity, to deal with water issues, certainly to deal with connectivity. But communications have been very, very challenging. I have four bars right now, so I hope I can be with you and your listeners for the balance of this time.
Right on, right on. So I guess one of the things is, what is the thought for holding a Tournament of Champions, the Century Tournament of Champions this year?
Yeah, so we are going to work very closely with, you know, state, county, and, you know, private businesses and resources. We want to be very aware, very, very respectful. Services, integral services, they need to be patriated towards those most in need. Having said that, we also accept the responsibility and the privilege of the platform that we have to continue to bring awareness and to continue to raise funds, and beyond just disaster relief, to ensure that the PGA Tour, Century Insurance, our players, we help this community recover and rebuild. And so, you know, we are committed in January to playing the event and to ensure that we use our platform to help Maui and the West Side and Lahaina rebuild.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's good to know. Are you thinking about any modifications? I was thinking, where in the world will we get a whole bunch of volunteers to run the Century Tournament of Champions when people on the West Side are just trying to put their lives together? Or do you have a lot of people from Kahului, Wailuku, you know, parts not impacted that could come in and fill in some of those places?
Yeah, I think when the time is right and when it's appropriate, we're going to do a thorough evaluation of each of those areas, including volunteers, operations, logistics. For right now, the focus has really just been around stabilizing families and individuals that have lost homes, lost loved ones, lost their business. You know, folks that are wondering where their kids are, where are they going to make a living, and you know, just to you know, personalize this slightly. You know, as an example, Troon, our golf course partner, they have 140 employees. More than 45 of them have lost homes. The Ritz-Carlton Maui Kapalua, 600 associates. I believe last count, more than 125. Had lost their homes. So here again, the priorities and the focus are on those most in need. And in due time, we will get to what the Century, formerly the Century Tournament Champions, now the Century, will look like. And to your point, it's the kickoff event of the PGA Tour. It's a celebration. There are, you know, enhancements that we've made to the event. Having said that, it's become even more important in light of what's happened to the community.
Yes, exactly. Even more important than exactly what I was thinking. I mean, at this point, all of the, you know, the energy that the Century brings to Maui and the fundraising that helps the community of Maui, just in general, it's a wonderful thing. So I'm glad to hear, you know, I knew that they would be all in, that Century would be all in, because that's just the way they are. As I said in my opening, they it's an extended family. Maui is part of their world. And that's just the kind of people who run the Century Insurance Company are. And I've learned that from, you know, personal experience. So I just am really happy. I'm, you know, terribly sad. And one of the things I wanted to let you know from personal experience, here I'm sitting on Oahu and I don't have a problem getting gas or driving my car or picking up supplies or doing anything. You know, I can take my grandson bowling today. No problem. You know, but there's a part of me that is still kind of in shock. And so as I was driving down Kapiolani Boulevard, how do I get there? Now, wait a second, what turn? You know, it's like there's a part of me that's so preoccupied subconsciously on the pain and the stuff that's happening on Maui that it sort of takes away. And I can only imagine, I mean, I can't even imagine what it must be like. I can't imagine, to be honest, what's it like to lose everything, your pictures, you know, the things that are so near and dear to us, the things we hold on to because it gives us our heritage and makes us feel our history is right there in our home. And that to have that taken away and gone and no recovery, no way to get it back, you know, except for the cloud. Thank goodness for the cloud. So, Max, tell me, is there what message would you like? I know, you know, we've got a few more minutes if you've got the time.
Yeah, you know, certainly there are many people in shock processing what's happened, whether you're here on the west side or like you, Danielle, on Oahu, or family and friends on the mainland. And what we found here is you just start taking action, helping people first and foremost. You know, Century immediately made a $275,000 donation to the Maui United Way. The PGA Tour and Century and our players are going to step up in a big way for Maui. Many probably saw Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, countless other PGA Tour pros step up and offer their support to the community. I think in the coming days, actually this weekend is the BMW Championship in Chicago. We're using the FedEx Cup playoff platform to bring even more awareness. All of the players are wearing a hibiscus flower on their bag, and we are launching our Help Maui campaign. And there are many worthy organizations out there, including the Hawaii Community Foundation. We're putting our full support. I'm also putting my individual support behind the Maui United Way. They're designed for not just the fiduciary oversight and the transparency. They're going to make sure that this money gets into the organizations as well as into the hands of the individuals that have been most impacted. So, you know, right now, it's still a little bit of a minute-to-minute emergency, especially with close to 1,000 people that are unaccounted for. Oh, yes. And disaster relief is the priority. And Hawaii Community Foundation, Maui United Way, and many other organizations are you know, certainly very, very worthy receivers of whatever anybody can do.
Let me, you know, some of you said take action. You know, take action is really when you've got to do something, and that funnels all the anxiety into action, making a difference. You can do that by giving money, but a lot of people like to be boots on the ground. Is there room for boots on the ground from neighbor islands to come to Maui to help?
I think that's really important. And We've seen Governor Green as well as Mayor Bisson talk about how Maui is not closed, that Maui is still welcoming visitors to Wailea, to Kihei, to McKenna, to Paia. Right now, you know, the west side really does not have the infrastructure to support visitors, you know, including from Inner Island. The community has stood up many donation centers, many distribution centers, and throughout the day, people are receiving essential goods, warm meals that are being, you know, served through these donation centers.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you very much, Max Novina, tournament director, the Century. That's at the, of course, Kapalua Plantation Course. And exactly how it'll look, probably a lot different than years past, at least for this coming year. But they're in it, and they're going to raise money for the Maui community. Already, Century has given $275,000 straight into the United Way. Did I get that right? Did I remember that correctly?
You did, Danielle.
Okay.
And that's just the beginning.
Thank you.
We're all going to do a lot more.
I just knew it. I knew it. Thank you. Thanks, Max, for taking out the time and using up all your minutes.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. All right, we're going to come back. This is Maui Strong. You know, it's all about Maui Strong. But we've got Steve Pike. He's owner and editor of Spike on Golf and Travel. He'll be joining us to take us a little bit outside, and then we'll come back inside after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SciPac is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SciPac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
It's going to be a partly cloudy kind of day with scattered showers, windward and Mauka. Now I'm talking about Oahu, Kauai, and parts of Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. So isolated showers on the leeward side, more on the windward and Mauka sections. The high today, between 86 and 91, depending on where you are. Be sure to use your sunscreen. And the high, the low, 72 to 78. The trades are 15 to 20 miles per hour. Not too strong, but they're going to increase to 15 to 25 miles per hour. And it just seems like not a day goes by when I don't have to report that some tree is down. Poor tree, but it's blocking the road and somebody's going to have to go out and take care of it. So if you've got, you know, vegetation issues, we got chainsaws on sale for your job site or your home when the power fails after the winds come through. Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, Maruyama, whichever's your favorite brand. We ship off island. It's big chainsaws, giant chainsaws, small chainsaws for those hard to reach limbs. They're all on sale. New shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Eveleigh, next to the Costco gas station. They're also in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
You know, it's been an interesting year in a wide-ranging memo with significant updates to the players sent out recently. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan and the tour working to produce a player benefit program that would reward those who do not or did not defect to the LIV Golf League, while also announcing that the tour would not be supporting a model local rule that the governing bodies have proposed as a way to roll back the golf ball. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see just how things kind of work themselves out. I'm looking forward to talking with someone pretty soon about, you know, how much money did the PGA Tour have to throw at whatever, given how much money LIV Golf has, you know, I don't know, the bottomless pit of billions of dollars. That's kind of that's kind of what the PGA Tour has been up against. And they're just, I don't know, they just seem to be so disconnected, so insecure, yes, indeed. But let's talk with Steve Pike first, owner, editor, Spike on Golf and Travel. His website is spikeongolfandtravel.com. He's an award-winning travel writer, defined golf business in the 1990s for Golf Week, Golf World, golf shop operations for the New York Times Magazine Group and Golf Digest. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
We're doing okay. You know, it's okay. I was just talking. Maui's got a communication issue. The West Side, of course, in addition to a whole lot of, you know, bigger problems. Of course, it's very frustrating if you can't call out to let people know how you are. So that's it's kind of on our front burner. But, you know, the world goes on and we need to have a little few distractions. And so I thought it'd be much fun to talk with you. I just was going through just some of the things, you know, when the PGA Tour is trying to come up with, you know, not punishing the guys who went to live, or is it those who did not defect to live, or bringing them back from live. I just don't know where they're at sometimes. You know, I wonder.
Well, I think right now everything is in a little bit of a holding pattern, waiting to see what the Senate will do or what the Senate won't do. And they're waiting to see if the head of the PIF, Ramanyan, I don't want to butcher his name, to see if they're going to get him to appear before the Senate committee, which is not likely. you know, this is a business deal, and sooner or later it will all be resolved. But I think right now everything is sort of waiting to see what the Senate will do. That said, I think that LIZ, Live Golf, has had a tremendous impact on the game and on the players, and sort of exposed the PGA Tour's business model as not being very strong, and it's helped put the tour players in a position that is close, at least, to the players in other sports, whether it's the NFL or Major League Baseball, something like that.
We're having communication issues now. I have lost you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. So your final sentence there, we lost that completely.
Oh, the final sentence was, I think what Live Golf has done is it's helped propel, it's helped put PGA Tour players and Live Golf players in line with NFL players and Major League Baseball players to a certain extent, in that it's helped them be able to control and determine their own futures, whereas when it was strictly a PGA Tour monopoly, for lack of a better word, the players weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you know, that's good, because it was always a player organization. They hired the guy, the commissioner, but then it seemed like he turned on them somehow. Where did he get all this power if it's their, you know, the PGA Tour is the players' tour? How come the commissioner's got so much? How come he overrides them so much? It's just a strange relationship that I never fully understood, and maybe it's not to understand.
I think that's part of the deal too, that it's not to understand. But I will agree with you on everything you just said. But I'll say too that it was the players who allowed, whether it's Jay Monahan, Tim Fincham, Dean Beeman, whoever, to have all of that power.
Mm-hmm.
And the tour, by hiding behind a shield of these guys are independent contractors, that sort of gave them an out for the tour to sort of do whatever it wanted to do. And the players thought that they were on some sort of a gravy train, particularly after it got to the 125 non-exempt, to the non-exempt tour, that they were doing well. But it turns out that they didn't know how much better they could do if they just exercised a little bit of power.
Yeah.
And now that has been done. And again, I think the PGA Tour has been exposed as the business model is not as strong as it made it out to be.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Talking about not as strong, Top Golf and Callaway. Now, I missed the part where Top Golf and Callaway, Top Golf Callaway. Is that now the name?
Yeah, it's Top Golf Callaway Brands. Because 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, in March of 2021, Callaway bought Top Golf for around $2 billion. And a few months ago, less than a year ago, basically didn't create a new company. They it was part of the Callaway business plan, business model to create more of a lifestyle company, with knowing that Topgolf eventually would overtake Callaway's equipment business. So basically what they did was they changed the name of the company to Topgolf Callaway Brands, changed the New York Stock Exchange logo or ticker from ELY, which is Ely Callaway, to MODG, which is Modern Golf.
Uh-huh.
So that's essentially what they've done. And most of the focus these days from within the company is based on Top Golf.
Interesting. So they were thinking that this entertainment entity, Top Golf, would generate more money than the equipment entity Callaway.
Yes, and it has, and it will continue to do so, probably by leaps and bounds moving forward. The dichotomy in that, or the mysterious thing in that, is that while Topgolf continues to do well, although it slowed in the second quarter of 2023, this past second quarter, the company's stock price continues to slide, and it slid to a 52-week low just yesterday to, I think, $16.13, something like that, compared to, and not everything, I mean, there's a lot that goes on in between, but in March of 2021, when Callaway acquired Topgolf, Callaway stock was in the mid-30s.
Yeah. Wow. that's kind of a tumble. You wrote that it has something to do with the fact that there's so much money invested in Topgolf.
Well, it has something to do with the fact that Topgolf, that Callaway bought Topgolf when Topgolf had $500,000 or $500 million in debt, and which it still does, somewhere around there. And in order to keep growing those Topgolf venues, Callaway has to keep investing more money into that, which it's done successfully. Topgolf is just sort of a creature that needs to be continually fed in order to grow. I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And if it was a standalone company, which it was for a long time, it was making money or it was bringing in a lot of revenue, but because of everything it had to do to keep building new venues, it wasn't particularly profitable. And I think Wall Street still questions the sustainability of that growth.
Right.
So I think that's, or it could come down to, like one of my Wall Street friends said the other day, you can couch it and question it however way you want, but the bottom line could be, for Wall Street, it's just not that compelling a story. It could be something that's just that simple.
How many Topgolfs?
We don't really know, but it makes, that's what makes it fun.
Yes, it does. And then you ask yourself, how many Top Golfs can there be? You know, one on every corner.
Well, yes, and you have to realize, you have to understand how Callaway goes about funding them, and that's an entirely new dynamic as to how this is done and this is done, and well, this is why this money goes here, this is where this money goes here, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I like how you wrote, this has flipped the company to being heavily free cash flow negative, burning $571 million over the past 12 months. So, you know, but as you said, it has to be fed. Now, here's something taking us out of Top Golf, which is interesting to us here on Oahu, because there was going to be one at Alawai, but that, because of flood issues, never came about, at least not yet. Stream Song is taking reservations for the Coor and Crenshaw design, the new short course?
The new short course called The Chain, which will open later this year, probably in November, December. I've seen different dates. Like most golf courses, Laura's are small. They're sort of moving. Opening dates are always moving targets.
So, yeah. It's a short course, but what's different about it? There's something really different about this.
Well, it's basically just a rugged short course. I haven't talked to the guys about it lately. It sits on a really rugged piece of land. It's going to be very a Coor Crenshaw minimalistic design golf course that sort of sticks out from the Coor Crenshaw design and the Doak design that's there, and goes more to the minimalistic Gail Hans design. That's a Stream Song.
Yeah.
So it's going to give guests at Stream Song, you know, another golfing experience that would be different from the first three that are there.
But you can come on, you can choose where to tee off from on any given hole.
Oh, sure. Sure. And you can do that at PGA National in Palm Beach Gardens on the Staples course too. There's other courses that are beginning, shorter courses that are coming online, I don't ask you to name them right now, that are going more to that user-friendly mode of, well, here's the tee boxes, here's the green, you can tee off from wherever you want, just go out there and have fun. Instead, the Staples course at PGA National is like that, and they've had great success with that. Just go out there, tee it off, play from wherever you want, and have fun.
I like it. And it's always been my motto the last 25 years. People were saying, the golf's not fun, it's serious. I'm like, well, what?
Well, you can play from wherever you want. Don't be intimidated by the length. Just go out and play.
Yeah, just go out.
If you want to play from 200 yards, that's fine. If you want to play from 100 yards, that's fine, too. There's no restrictions.
Okay. Now this is The Chain and The Bucket. There's also The Bucket, a putting course.
Yeah, I believe that's right. You know, it's been a while since I've looked at all of that stuff. I plan to get over there sometime in the next couple of months, but I believe that's the way it is. Yes. The Chain and The Bucket. Yeah. because there are chains and there are buckets there, because it used to be an old Stream Song itself used to be an old phosphate mining pit.
Oh,
so there's all sorts of there's all sorts of machinery that was there that's uncovered, you know, that was brought back, that sort of thing.
I thank you so much for explaining. It's like The Chain and The Bucket.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. It adds to the ambiance. That's for sure.
I thought the guys had lost their minds.
No. It's just another way to help golfers experience the golf and of course to market the courses too.
Yeah, of course. So there's some high end golf courses coming later this year.
Well, yes, one that just, well, let's start with one that that opened this year, which is the Lido up at Sand Valley, which is phenomenal. Sedge Valley is opening next year at Sand Valley. And then this year, later on this year, early next year, you mentioned Florida, where Stream Song is. There's Cabot Citrus Farms that will open on the old Worldwoods property near Brooksville. There's Panther National, which is going to be a private Nicholas and Justin Thomas course on the outer reaches of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. That'll open later on this year. Stephen Ross, who is the co-owner of the Miami Dolphins, he and his partner have three golf courses that are planned. One of them is in the seeding stages, in the grassing stages, by Gil Hance at a place called Apogee Club, which is in Hope Sound, Florida.
Oh, yeah. I know the guy. Yes.
Yeah, there's one on the old Diplomat Country Club in Hollywood, Florida, called Shell Bay, S-E-H-L-L Bay. There's those. Nick Price is designing one in Southwest Florida. That's a private club community, as is Paul Azinger. So they're co-designing different properties in Southwest Florida that'll be open in the next couple of years. And there's one called Black Desert Resort, which is out in near in Utah, in near Zion National Park, which is spectacular, which is Tom Weisskopf's final course design.
Now, this is Steve Pike, okay? And he travels to these places. Do you bother to have your own place, or do you just, like, move around the country?
I'm a moving target, too. That's sort of the way I like it.
Steve Pike, owner and editor, Spike on Golf and Travel. Find out more about all these things, including that incredibly long list of upscale new golf courses. You know, the industry is doing just fine. Steve Pike is owner and editor, Spike on Golf and Travel, and that's the website, spikeongolfandtravel.com. Thanks for being in the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Stay safe.
You too. Aloha. Coming back, Ron Syrak joins us after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun? Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
MD Restoration,
24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Ron Syrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much. The U.S. Women's Open, Allison Corpus won. KPMG Women's PGA Championship, Roning Yin won. From China, AIG Women's Open, Lilia Vu. The Chevron Championship, Lilia Vu. And Amundi Evian Championship, Celine Boutier won. Now, that takes care of all the majors on the LPGA Tour. We've already had the International Crown this year. You know, everything seems to have come so quickly. And the Solheim Cup is going to be played in Spain. This is super exciting. Looking forward to the Solheim Cup. When do we find out the players representing the United States?
Yeah, we're going to get that. We're going to lock in a couple of weeks. We have a pretty good idea of what's going on right now. One of the questions is whether Lexi Thompson's going to hold on. She's got the seventh and last qualifying spot off the points list. Looks like Rose Zhang's going to get an automatic spot off the Rolex rankings. And then you have that open it up to the three captains picks. And, you know, anybody who would have had as their major championship winners the four names that you mentioned, Corpus and Vu and Yin and Boutier going into the season, I want them to buy a lottery ticket for me because nobody saw that coming. I mean, you know, you got to be asking yourself, where's Nelly? Where's Jin Young? Where's Brooke? Where's Lexi? You know, where's Lydia? Where's Danielle Kang? You know, it was a bizarre, bizarre year. But one of the things that I've gotten out of this year is, you know, when I first started covering women's golf, it was very rare that a player outside of the top 20, top 30 won a tournament. And now players are coming from the bottom of the field and winning tournaments. And it just shows you how deep the talent pool is out there right now. I think it's not so much a question of some of the top names have slipped back as some of the new fresh faces out there have really emerged strong this year.
Yeah, it's funny. I was laughing only because at the bottom, you know, I've got a list of things that we might talk about. And I've got what's up with Lexi Thompson and what's up with Nelly Korda.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Nelly, I can give you two answers to that. She's had 2 years of physical problems, blood clots last year, some back problems this year. But mostly what's been hurting her is that she's putted dreadful the whole year. And as for Lexi, I don't know how to explain that. She now hasn't won a tournament in over 4 years after having gone 7 consecutive years of winning at least once each year for 7 consecutive years. You know, it's almost like she's 28 years old, but she's been out there for 16 years, you know.
Yeah.
And you just got to wonder, you know, when you start young, does it end young for you? You know, there are very few players who have more than, say, 6 to 9 years run at the top of their game. You know, Jack Nicklaus was a freak in that regard. Sam Snead. But you look at all the great players, 6 to 9 years is the run that they had up there. And you got to wonder, did she already have her time?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, like what fuels you? I mean, a lot of people wondered what fueled Tiger Woods. I mean, he was always winning. What could he possibly have been, you know, just to keep on winning? Was that what fueled him?
You know, and that's an amazing thing because I think the three greatest winners I've covered are Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Annika Sorenstam. And a big part of what they had in common is not only did they forget their losses quickly, they forgot their wins quickly. They'd win a tournament, and they'd go out the next week, and they'd tee it up, and they'd play with a passion as if they had never won a tournament before in their life. And
yes.
I don't know if you can teach that. You know, it's very easy to get complacent if you've gotten a few wins, you've won a major championship, you've got money in the bank. But for Jack and for Annika and for Tiger, it was never about the money. It was just, I'm going to win this next tournament when I tee it up.
Yes, that's perfectly said. It's, you know, I can get it. 16 years on tour. Most people don't hold a job for 16 years in today's world. You know, everybody's moving. So for Lexi, it's like, you know, been there, done that. Next, I don't know. You know, I have no idea. I've never met her, never spoke with her. But I can see how that might be a situation for her. With Nelly, if, you know, if she had back problems last year, back problems and putting, you know, back and putting. If you've got back problems, you can't practice putting. It's so hard. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that was one
of
the things that Tiger went through when he was having his back surgeries. As he would tell you that he couldn't go out and practice his short game, you know. And Nelly has played, from tee to green, has played very well this year. And she's been in contention a lot. But when she's had to make big putts under pressure down the stretch, she hadn't been able to do it. And, it could very well be that the back contributes to that.
Yeah, it's possible. Now, you were there when Annika Sörenstam accepted an invite to play on the PGA Tour. Was that...
Yes.
How did she feel about that? Was weird? What was the reaction from people?
Well, you know, that it's hard to believe that was 20 years ago now. And that was a magical year, 2003, for Annika. She won two majors. She finished second by one stroke in the other two majors. She completed the career Grand Slam. She played in a men's event. She led Europe to victory in the Solheim Cup in her native Sweden. And she was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame, all in that one year, in 2003.
Wow.
But to me, one of the really, really impressive things about Annika is she played the Colonial event. That first day, she shot a 71 that if she had putted that day, could have been a 65 really easy. She putted for birdie on every hole.
Wow.
She played phenomenal.
Did I lose Ron?
She played.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, after she played and she missed the cut, and we asked her, you know, are you going to do this again? And she said, no, because I play golf for one reason, to have a chance to win on Sunday, and I can't win on this tour. And I always respected her for doing that. She wanted to see if she could handle the pressure, the attention, everything that came with playing in a PGA Tour event, and she did. She handled it brilliantly that week. But then she said, that's it. I did it once. I found out I can do it, and I'm done.
Wow. That is, you know, exactly. That's, you know, boldly going where no woman had gone before. It's just bottom line, and doing it, you know, and then saying, hey, you know, I want to win. Love her. She's just an amazing woman. On something completely, you know, live. There's one news outlet that says that Front Office Sports, and I don't know much about them. LIV Golf is exploring signing LPGA stars and holding mixed tournaments. And one news outlet, again, Front Office Sports, says Rose Zhang is quoted in there as saying that LIV could help the women's game. Regardless of whether any of that is true, the question I wanted to ask you is, do you think LIV could help the women's game?
Well, I think money can help the women's game. I do think the PGA Tour and the LPGA need to jump in on these mixed gender events. They need to get there before somebody else does. I think it's a great idea. Every TV executive I talk to wants it.
Wow.
They think it would be enormously popular with the fans. And you know, in my mind, the team golf aspect of LIV Golf has not caught on at all. It doesn't have the intensity of the Solheim Cup or the Ryder Cup, you know, or the International Crown. Those are team events that really sort of matter. It hasn't cut on that way. But look at it this way. The LPGA is playing for $100 million this year. That's twice as much money as they played for 10 years ago. So they've come a long ways. But they actually lost ground this year because of what LIV Golf did to the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour creating those designated events, increasing the purses, increasing some of the bonus money out there, that the women who were playing for one-fifth the money that the men were playing for before got this huge increase in their purse, and they're probably playing for one-tenth the money the men are playing for now. They slip backwards.
Wow.
And the way that mixed-gender event is going to work, if the PGA Tour and the LPGA does it, somebody's got to come up with the money. because the PGA Tour players, we know this, they're not going to go out there and play an event where the purse is $4 or $5 million. You know, you got to put a big number up there to get them to want to play, and somebody's got to come up with that money.
Wow. Now, do you think the PGA Tour is financially in kind of worse straits than it was? Dire straits? Do you think they've lost a lot of ground because of LIV, money-wise?
I do. You know, I do. I know that at one point, one of the things that they've always done, and this was really smart, they kept a war chest, and they had about $300 million in their war chest. That's an emergency fund. They spent about $75 million of that $300 million getting through COVID. You know, the enhanced testing, the enhanced security, the loss of revenue from no spectators being at events. It cost them $75 million to get through COVID. And then LIV comes along, and the PGA Tour has got to jump in and increase the prize money to these designated events. Well, that money had to come from somewhere. It came from that emergency fund, too. The only way this talk of a merger between LIV, the PGA Tour, and the DP World Tour makes sense to me is that the LIV strategy of trying to deplete the financial resources of the PGA Tour worked. I think that they have them between a rock and a hard place financially. And awesome. One thing we know, the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia has about $675 billion in it. The PGA Tour this year's revenues is going to be $1.5 billion. You can't compare the two.
No. And that's, I guess, why the senators are calling them into the committee room. What are the chances that they actually decide to go talk?
I think that I think this whole thing is a long way from being settled. There's a whole lot more that we don't know than we do know about this merger. We don't even know what the organization's going to be called. We don't know if all three tours are going to exist and all be playing out there. It sounds like next year is going to be exactly the same as this year. There's going to be a DP World Tour. There's going to be a LIV Golf Tour. There's going to be a PGA Tour. I think everything's going to be exactly the same. But I do think that there's going to be regulatory agencies involved. There's going to be congressional involved. And somebody somewhere, it may be a PGA Tour player who didn't go to LIV, might bring a lawsuit. Because remember, LIV sued the PGA Tour, saying the PGA Tour had an illegal antitrust monopoly that they were dominating golf. Well, if you're going to argue that, how do you then have LIV, PGA Tour, and the DP World Tour merge and that not be an even bigger monopoly? So somebody's going to point that out, and it could very well be one of those players who turned down LIV money.
Wow. You know, this is supposed to be about golf.
We got a long way to go to get this all worked out. And I feel, you know, golf doesn't need this. And we're seeing this happening in other sports. The Saudis are making move at soccer players, big name soccer players. They tried to get Lionel Messi to go to play there, and he didn't. He went to Miami. They tried to get Mbappe to leave PSG in Paris and go play there, and he turned down $750 million because he didn't want to do it. So
Wow. There's
going to be a lot. It's going to involve Formula One auto racing. It's going to involve tennis. It's going to involve soccer. It's going to involve golf.
Wow. $750 million? Okay.
$750 million.
Oh, excuse
me. They offered him $750 million to go play in Saudi Arabia, and he turned it down.
Okay. Good
now,
on
when
him.
You're making, when you're making about $350 million playing it in the Premier League soccer, then you can afford to do that.
Yeah. On the road we go. The CME Group Tour Championship is coming up in November. We got a lot going on. ISPS Honda World Invitational, that is still going on. And Ron Cyrak, you're on your way to the U.S. Senior Women's Open?
Yeah. You know, first off, about the CME Group Tour Championship,
Yeah. It
could very well be. We're going to have this final stretch, we're going to have a compelling race for Player of the Year. And it's going to involve Lilia Vu, Celine Boutier, maybe Alison Corpuz, but it's certainly Vu and Boutier are in this. They both have won three times. One has two majors, one has one major. they're in a dogfight for player of the year, and I think it's going to come down to that last tournament. And yeah, I leave tomorrow to go to Portland, Oregon for the fifth U.S. Senior Women's Open. One of the fun stories that I wrote to preview it is that Annika Sorenstam, who won it 2 years ago, is playing again this year, but playing for the first time. One of the rookies, one of the newly minted 50-year-olds, is her sister, Charlotta Sorenstam.
Wow.
And in 2000, they became the first sisters in the history of the LPGA to both be tournament winners. It's later was matched by the Jutanagarns and the Cordas. So there's now three, but they were the first sisters to both win out there. And of course, Annika won 72 times and Charlotta won once.
So, wow, 72.
She won that one tournament.
Yeah, gosh. And then Wendy Ward is also the past U.S. Women's Am champ. She's going to be in it?
Yep, she's another newly minted 50-year-old. She's won the Women's Am, played Curtis Cup for the United States. In 1997, it's funny, I did a story on her in 96. I was working for the Associated Press then. And I called the commissioner at that time, Jim Ritz, and I said, hey, I want to do a story on a rookie, a four-part series following a rookie through a rookie year. He said, I got just the player for you, Wendy Ward. So I followed Wendy through her rookie year. And I told her at the end of that, we became pretty close. And I said at the end of it, when you win your first tournament, I promise I'm going to be there on Sunday for your win. Well, the next year, in 1997, she won a tournament. She set the LPGA 54-hole scoring record, the LPGA 72-hole scoring record,
wow.
Winning the tournament. It was in September of 97, and I was in Spain at the Ryder Cup. So I was unable to fulfill my promise to her that I was going to be there when she won.
Oh, you rotten guy. Well, they're going to be in Andalusia, Spain. Solheim Cup is coming up. You going to go?
Wouldn't it be? No, I'm not going to be there. But wouldn't it be a cool singles match to have Lily Abou and Celine Boutier taking each other on?
Oh, yeah.
And that's another thing. Look at all this fresh new blood that's coming into Solheim Cup now.
Yes.
You know, Alison Corpuz is going to be there, and Lily Abou is going to be there. Celine Boutier, Leona Maguire. Both teams are sort of in a transition period where new young players are coming. Rose Zhang is going to be there for the United States. It's going to be some of those veterans who've been there forever are sort of moving on, and a new group's coming in. It's going to be a very exciting Solheim Cup, it's Europe has they do it in both Solheim Cup and the Ryder Cup. No matter how many times they win, they come in with that chip on their shoulder that no one takes us seriously and we're the underdogs. They can win. I mean, you know, the men haven't won in Europe since 1993 at the Belfry, and still the Europeans will go into that event acting like they're the underdogs. They have that wonderful, wonderful chip on their shoulder.
It's so effective. Ron Syrak, it's so much fun talking. Thank you so much. Ron is Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Famer, author of Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. It's one of the books you need to get is Play Your Best Golf Now, of course. And PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award. Ron Syrak, award-winning writer and author, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. And we got disconnected. Boy, communications has been very interesting this morning. Thank you, and we'll be back. Mark Rolfing is joining us next. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eboli. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
We are KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Ah, here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All righty, let's give some tee times out. We're going to have kind of a nice day for a round of golf to get away and relax, walk, get some exercise, change your mental references, kind of take a break, and then come back refreshed. Volcano Golf Club, it's, or was, a couple hours ago, 57 degrees. There's an 852 and a 936, probably warming up. Makalei has an 830, a 920 would be probably the easiest one for you to get to. Poipu has a 910, a 1030, and a 1210. The auditors are playing. I don't know, maybe. May you all audit. Yes, Kauai Lagoons has a 1010 and an 1108. On Oahu, we've got Turtle Bay, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and the Blue Dog Group is out today. Royal Hawaiian, yeah, they have a 1010. There's a 918. It's kind of close, but there's a 1010 and an 1130. And the Rough Riders are playing today. So many groups out. Eva Beach Golf Course has an 850. Are the Southside Men's Club playing today on Kauai? I always love it when they're playing. Wailea Gold, 920. Emerald, 1030. And the Blue Course has a 1050. Now, we're waiting for Mark Rolfing to call in, so I want to do one more a commercial break, and I want to start off with Aloha Power's Windy Days sale. Yeah, it's been windy days, and trees are down. Yesterday? There was a tree down. So we've got powers. We don't have powers to move trees without chainsaws, no. We got chainsaws on sale for your job site or your home when the power fails. After the wind. So, you know, you don't have to be plugged in anywhere. You can just cut it up. Unfortunately, it needs to be. Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, Maruyama, and we ship off island. Big chainsaws, giant chainsaws, small chainsaws for those hard-to-reach places, all on sale. New shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips. And now, I think we have Mark Rolfing with us right now, coming in from Maui. Mark, golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, 2012 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with wife Debbie, contributor to the Dad's Advice Project. Was that the year you won the PGA Distinguished Service Award, Mark?
No, the Distinguished Service Award was actually later. That, I think, was 2017.
Okay.
But time flies, as you know, Danielle, so somewhere in there.
Somewhere
in there. I won that award.
That's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay. Now, we were talking earlier this morning with Max Novina, who is the tournament director, PGA Tour, of The Century. And I just found out this morning that it is The Century. And, you know, there wasn't anything firm put together about how the century would be played, what form, you know, but it's going to raise money for Maui. And I wanted to talk with you, and we talked about this, about what your ideas are for putting the century on this year.
Well, you know, my biggest idea right now, Danielle, is that we are going to do it. It is going to happen. There isn't going to be uncertainty about whether or not it happens. It is the kickoff to the PGA Tour season, and it will be the first event on the new calendar year schedule. Unlike a number of other events on Maui, which unfortunately are not going to be able to be staged, we don't know exactly what's going to have to happen with some of them. I'm pretty worried about the college basketball, for example, which has been a staple here, but that is so close to Lahaina in the Civic Center that it's going to be difficult, for example, to pull that one off. But with the golf, we can do it. It's going to take a lot of people. It probably is not going to look much like what people would have imagined the Tournament of Champions would kind of morph into when it became this designated event, but it's going to be a big event. The best players in the world are going to be here, and it is going to raise a lot of money. It's going to be a tremendous platform for the recovery of this island.
That's what I need to hear, you know, a tremendous platform for the recovery of this island, Maui. What are your thoughts about the players coming over?
Well, I think the players are going to come. There's no doubt about it. There's a few players that really are taking a firm stance on a number of things. I've really been surprised at how vocal John Rahm has been, who, of course, is the defending champion. But he is saying, look, we can't come to Maui and just go play golf at Kapalua. We have to come to Maui and make a difference in the recovery of the island, and every one of the players has to pitch in, and that is John Rahm saying that. I've had a couple guys already call me about volunteering in certain ways. One player who is an animal, absolute animal lover, wanted to know if he could volunteer for the Maui Humane Society for a day, for example. It was pretty cool. And so the players are going to be all in on this. There's no question about it. The difficult thing is the decisions, because of the quick timing here, have to be made right away. All the equipment that's got to come on barges, particularly the television equipment, not only for this event but for Sony, this stuff has to be committed to within the next 30 days. And, you know, the focus is not going to be on golf for the next 30 days. It's going to be on Lahaina. But in the meantime, these decisions do have to be made, and I believe they will be made.
That is, you know, when you just said what John Rahm said, that's beautiful. I mean, he's so deep. We see him as a golfer. We see his conviction on the golf course. We see his passion. You know, and he obviously, when he feels for something, he feels deeply, he makes it happen.
You know, that's what's happened with so many of these players, Danielle, over the years, because you've been here a lot. And how can you not fall in love with Maui? And how can you not fall in love with the people of Maui? And whether it's John Rahm or Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, so many of these guys, Maui has become sort of their second community, and they are very, very concerned and very, very dedicated and committed to, you know, want to make a difference here. The Justin Thomas situation is pretty interesting to me because he comes every year. He typically brings a group of 10 or 12 family, friends, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He is not eligible for this tournament. He's not going to be in the field, unfortunately. But I see a scenario where Justin Thomas might well come because it means that much to him. Who knows? Maybe he could sit up in the TV booth with me or something. I think it would just be incredible if there could be a role here for Justin Thomas because Maui has become such a big part of his life.
That would be a cool scenario. I mean, the two of you working together, but Justin being able to do inside, not, you know, but inside comments, you know, about the person that we don't know, you know, and he would be able to, much color, I suppose, is what I'm getting at. You know, that sounds like a really, a very, very good idea. Have you talked to the, you know, the powers that be that run Golf Channel?
Yes, I have. And I am leaving for New York on Monday and actually going to work next week. We had considered whether I should or not. I was needed here this week. That's why I didn't go to Chicago for the BMW Championship. But I think it's time now for me to go back to work. And I'll be on with Brandel Chambly on Golf Central all week long from Stamford, Connecticut studios. And obviously the main purpose will be to analyze the Tour Championship and everything that's going on in Atlanta. But at the same time, I'm going to be able to, on the air, tell a lot of stories and personal experiences of what I have seen and experienced this past week, which really is a life-changing scenario for a lot of people on this island, and certainly has been for me. But I'm also going to be able to talk with all the Golf Channel bosses and really work with them on getting this plan together as to how are we going to pull this off. We don't want to take equipment that FEMA needs for recovery or anything like that. But at the same time, we want to show the world that Maui is on the comeback trail, and that is going to be the case in 4 months.
You'd think there'd be a studio here somewhere on these islands that would be able to provide the equipment so that everybody could take care of everybody. You know, what you're proposing is creating a huge amount of money for people and that need it right now. You know, the island of Maui needs it. And I think the generosity of the PGA Tour players is going to be felt by everyone. And not just them coming to play for money. I think they will leave a lot of money behind. What do you think?
I absolutely believe that. And there's no substitute for them being cons and things from a distance. But you can't really make the kind of impact or understand it unless you're here. There is a precedent for this, Danielle. Well, the PGA Tour was playing in New Orleans a number of years ago, right after Katrina. Which was a terrible tragedy down in New Orleans. And that event went a very, very long way in raising money and awareness for the Hurricane Katrina recovery plan. And I think it'll be the same thing here with Maui. You know, if it were as simple as having a studio provide equipment, that'd be one thing. But as you know, golf is the most difficult sport to televise, and it needs a mobile unit, you know, that can handle multiple cameras spread out over a 400-acre parcel. We simply don't have that in Hawaii.
Oh.
And that type of equipment all needs to be shipped in. So it will be a big effort, and it takes a long time. I think door-to-door from where it leaves the mainland, I think it's shipped out of Long Beach, maybe, or Oakland, somewhere like that. It's almost a six-week proposition. By the time they drive the stuff there and put it on the barge and load it and send it over, and first it has to go to Honolulu, and then it has to be rerouted to Maui. So it's a pretty massive effort, and I just want to make sure that effort gets underway really soon, because you can't be a day late.
No.
That's for sure.
No. We need to call Mr. Bezos, you know. He donated a considerable amount of money recently, and I'm sure he can move mountains. There's something about, I don't know, Amazon. You know, the word, the name, it alone. He can probably.
Yeah, that's a magical name. Yeah, you're gonna see more people like Bezos emerge in this thing too. I'm totally convinced that there are gonna be people stepping up that have the financial means to really, really make a difference. the $10 donations and $25 donations are really, really important. So I would encourage anybody, Maui United Way is doing a tremendous effort here. They instituted a program yesterday, Danielle, where they are giving two adults $1,000 cash to the adults who have been affected by this fire. And it's a very simple process that you have to go through. It's not the complicated process you have to go through, for example, with FEMA or even the Red Cross to try and get relocated into a hotel room or something. This is a very simple process where people are going to be able to get $1,000 per person. So there's two in the family, that's $2,000 cash. It is needed right away because, believe it or not, one of the issues on this side of the island right now is money. Where do you get money? There's really no place to get it. The ATMs, none of the ATMs work, and the banks in Lahaina are gone. And how do people get money? And so don't think, folks, that $10 isn't going to make a difference, or $25. It's going to make a huge difference.
Make a huge difference, yes. Now, so how's your family? How did your family do through all of this? I mean, you can go now, but tell us a little bit about your experience.
Well, as you know, we have a foster child, BJ, who a lot of people who are around the golf tournaments have seen. We have been fostering him on and off for, oh boy, almost 12 years now. Wow. His family lives in Lahaina, and he has two sisters and a mom and a dad, and they lived right in the heart of Lahaina, so they were in the center of the firestorm. Fortunately for us, BJ did not go to school that day because the power was out. I do believe had he gone in there that day, we likely wouldn't have seen him again. But God somehow had a way of canceling school. He didn't go. And then the fire broke out. We were very concerned. That would have been on Tuesday afternoon. And on Tuesday night, when there was no power, no source of communication or anything, we began trying to locate BJ's family. It took us almost a day and a half. It would have been on Wednesday night then. We found BJ's family at Airport Beach, it's called, which is the beach north of Kaanapali. They had managed to make it there. They got out of town, believe it or not, after saving another family.
Wow.
Whose car had broken down. They made it about a mile out of Kaanapali, and their car broke down. It was effectively melted, and so they had to get out and basically go somewhere. They went to Airport Beach, and there they were given some blankets by folks, and we started looking around various places, and when we got there, all of a sudden, here we found them on this blanket.
Wow.
And now they are staying with us.
Oh.
So we have the whole group of five, and they are going to be relocated. I'm hopeful today to a temporary housing situation somewhere here on the west side, and then I don't know what is going to happen. They have no house, no job, no money, no car. Just think about what it's like to try and start over from something like that.
I just, it boggles the mind. I was talking about this earlier. I mean, I think about all the loss and what it would be like, you know, to be stripped of everything and have no center, no history around you anymore. It's just, it's something you can't imagine. You know, you can try, but you just really can't imagine. And what is incredible, tell us about what you discovered in Lahaina that was still standing.
Well, it was still standing right in the center of Lahaina, Danielle, believe it or not, was our church. The Maria Lana Kila Sacred Hearts Church. It is remarkable. If you look at the pictures of Lahaina, it is it's right across the street from the Maui Gym building, which is of course gone. On all sides, it's only a block from where the gas station exploded up on the highway, the Shell station.
Wow!
And everything around it is just nothing but ashes now on all four sides. And there, standing right in the middle of town, is the Sacred Hearts Church. The steeple has not been touched. There's not even smoke damage or blackened ashes or anything. It is just standing there tall. And I believe basically saying, you know, there's a higher power in charge here. There's some reason that church is still standing. And it's kind of become a beacon for a lot of people of hope. And I think that's a really good thing. And one of the main reasons why I have decided to go do the Gulf Central work this week, and believe me, I've got a lot of studying to do because I'm not sure I even know who's leading right now at the BMW Championship. So I've got to, if I'm going to sit there next to Brandel all week, I better get myself ready. But at the same time, Danielle, it's going to offer me an opportunity to tell stories like the one I just told you that would probably not otherwise ever get out. And I think that'll be a really, really good and positive thing. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Absolutely. And go with that conviction that you have, because it comes from the heart. And we want this all to happen and the generosity to flow as we know it will. And you've got it. I know you've got it. Mark Rolfing, thank you so much for being on the show with me and sharing some really powerful words and your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. Drive safe. Travel safe. Thank you to CyPack for cybersecurity. That is CyPack for your company or your organization, cybersecurity, CYPAC. It's an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere. It's right here in Hawaii. They're stationed right here in Hawaii, 808-861-9595. 861-9595. Rainer Garage Doors, it's a beautiful look. You'll get maximum security as well there. Quiet. You know, the door opens, can't be heard, it closes. Your first safety zone, you're inside. Take a nice deep breath. The Rainer Door, adding value to your home. And by the way, it's the perfect time to do it. 676-3667. 676-3667. Or go to HawaiiDoor.com and check them out. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out. Oh, it happened to me, the inside. Flood or fire disaster, you need help. You need help immediately. You want somebody to come and take care of it. The MD Restoration team is on it at any time of the day, right away. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration. Licensed contractors, they'll do your cleanup and repair. And their number, 528-3434. Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore and the Waipahu Store. That's right. They're right there for you, putting power at your fingertips, including the chainsaw sale at Aloha Power Equipment, right next door to the Costco Iwile or in Waipahu. Talk with the folks at Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. And, you know, if you don't know what to get a friend who seems to have just about everything, get them a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate because they will love it. Everyone who goes to play at Poipu Bay always enjoys the experience. I mean, it was the home of the Grand Slam of golf for years and years. And if you're going out to play today to just, you know, clear your head and come back and be ready to go again, it's going to be a little bit wet on the windward and Mauka side, not much. Isolated showers on the leeward side. The low tonight, about 72 to 78. I'll take the 72. Trades are 15 to 20. The high today is going to be 91. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. You can find us at RadioGolfClub.com. The podcast of the show is there, RadioGolfClub.com. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.